Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President Biden today co-hosted a second virtual summit to raise funds for the global fight against COVID. Canada has announced a new pledge of more than $700 million. Germany, an additional $1.5 billion. The U.S.'s planned contribution is $5 billion. But as NPR's Nurit Eisenman reports, the funding proposal remains stalled in Congress.
Biden officials say that to date, the U.S. has given $19 billion towards the global COVID response, including support for vaccines, treatments, and testing. But the worldwide need remains high. In low-income countries, less than 13% of people have been fully vaccinated, only a slight improvement since the first summit that Biden convened last September. Biden vows to push Congress for the additional $5 billion in global COVID aid. For now, he was able to announce another $200 million from existing monies that will go toward a global fund to prepare for future pandemics. Nurit Eisenman, NPR News.
A federal appeals court in California has overturned a state law banning the sale of semi-automatic rifles to young adults. As NPR's Martin Costi reports, that law was put in place last year.
California made 21 the legal age to buy a semi-automatic rifle, in part because of research showing that younger adults are still in a phase of cognitive development. Matt LaRosière is a lawyer with the Firearms Policy Coalition, which challenged the law.
I don't think that statistics or whatever numbers the state may be referring to justify the effective elimination of the right to a means of self-defense.
A panel of three federal judges has agreed, overturning the California law, though the ruling doesn't take effect yet, pending appeals. If the ruling stands, it may end up overturning age restriction laws in other states as well. Martin Costi, NPR News.
Jerome Powell has been confirmed to his second term as chairman of the Federal Reserve. NPR's Scott Horsley reports that Powell will carry on leading the central bank in its effort to crack down on high inflation.
Powell won broad bipartisan support in the Senate, where he was confirmed on a vote of 80 to 19. His stewardship of the Fed is already being tested, though, by inflation, which hit a four-decade high in March before dropping just a little bit last month. Powell and his colleagues have begun an aggressive push to regain control over inflation by raising interest rates. The Fed raised rates by half a percentage point last week and telegraphed two more jumbo rate hikes are likely in the next 2 months. Powell's confirmation caps an unusually combative debate in the Senate over leadership of the central bank. One nominee for the Fed's governing board was torpedoed by GOP opposition, and another was confirmed by the narrowest of margins on a straight party line vote. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street at the close, the Dow lost 103 points, settling at 31,730. The Nasdaq picked up 6 points. The S&P 500 was down 5. This is NPR. China and the United States have congratulated Ferdinand Marcos Jr. as the next president of the Philippines. The son and namesake of the late dictator, driven into exile 35 years ago, secured over half the votes in Monday's election. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports this Marcos family comeback presents new challenges for the U.S.
Marcos is poised to become president at a time when the Biden administration has committed to deepening U.S. engagement in the region. Washington is bolstering a web of security alliances that counter China's growing ambitions in the South China Sea and the Pacific. In his congratulatory call, President Biden also spoke with Marcos about promoting human rights and strengthening the decades-old U.S.-Philippine alliance. But Marcos's stated desire to pursue closer ties with China could potentially complicate U.S. efforts to blunt Beijing. Meanwhile, China's Xi Jinping extended his good wishes to Marcos, saying he's ready to build a good working relationship with the next Philippine president. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Manila.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is calling on colleagues to support a bipartisan push to give an additional $40 billion in assistance to Ukraine and its allies. The package includes both military aid and humanitarian assistance. The House has already approved the bill, which, among other things, includes billions for military equipment and intelligence support and support for Ukrainian troops. If the Senate does eventually adopt the House bill, it will go straight to the president's desk, and he's expected to sign it. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.